How much did you pay for this bag?
$2,900.
She says it's a fake.
That's what she says.
A cheap knockoff or a great deal?
She's claiming that I stole her money.
Well, if you perpetrated a fraud on her, then you stole her $3,000. What do you think of that?
But who will be left holding the bag?
Now I have all three bags.
Actually, two.
I actually have this one here that I'm developing an attachment for.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlein. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy.
Danielle Zilberg is suing 22-year-old Kevin Celentano for selling her a fake Hermes handbag.
Order. All rise.
Now, this is case number 203 on the calendar, the matter of Zilberg versus Celentano.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ladies, have a seat, please.
Ms. Zilberg, how old are you?
I'm 26.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a project manager at an e-commerce company.
How long have you been doing that?
About a year.
You live alone?
I live at home.
Your parents?
With my mom.
And you, sir, what do you do?
I'm a songwriter and I work retail.
Have you written any songs that I might hum?
No, not yet, but soon to hear.
Okay. And what else do you do?
Currently not in school, but that's it as far as...
I'd like to know what you do. I know that you're a songwriter who hasn't written any songs, and you're a student who's not in school. What do you do?
I work retail at the mall. And
retail? And how long have you worked there?
About 5 months.
Full-time or part-time?
Part-time.
Who do you live with?
I live on and off with my girlfriend and my mother.
Who do you live with?
With my grandmother.
So what does he mean when he stand? What does he mean, stand? What does he mean when he says he lives on and off with you? That means he lives in your grandmother's house?
Yes.
Is that what he does?
Yes.
She lets him stay in the house?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because they have a really good relationship, and he works at the mall really close to my house, and it's kind of a ways away from his mom's house. So he stays there whenever he needs to work, and it's just more convenient as far as the commute. Mm-hmm.
This case involves the sale of what you say is a fake Hermes bag that Mr. Celentano sold to you.
Yes.
On the internet. You want your money back.
Yes.
You have some counterclaim because you say now she has two bags that belong to you, and you say that you were accosted by two men who were with her after you sold her this bag. Is that all true?
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. Where did you get the bag from?
From my mother.
And what does she do for a living? Is not an answer.
Sorry. She's currently unemployed.
What did she do last year for a living?
She has not been working for the past 2-3 years.
How has she been supporting herself?
My stepdad.
And what does he do for a living?
He works at Boeing, builds space shuttles.
And how long have they been separated?
About a year.
How long were they married?
10.
And how many Hermes bags did your mother have?
3.
Do you know where she got them from?
They were given to her as a gift from her ex.
From your stepfather?
Yes.
He makes space shuttles? Is that what he does?
He builds space shuttles.
We're
as
not
well
in
as
that
welding.
Business anymore. Haven't you been reading the paper?
He welds and he works at Boeing and builds space shuttles.
He's a welder.
Yes, that's one of the things
he does.
Just
a second. It's all getting better. It's going to get better for me. So he's not a scientist.
No.
He's a welder.
Yeah, that's one of the
things
he does.
And over the course of the years that they were married, your stepfather, in addition to taking care of your unemployed mother and you, he bought her 3 $6,000 to $10,000 Hermes bags, which you decided to sell for her on the internet. This is, I'm understanding this. I didn't know that the welding business was so lucrative. You understand where I'm going, sir?
Yes, I understand.
I hope you understand exactly where I'm going. Your mother gave you a bag to sell for her. Is that the story you're telling me?
Well, she's going through a really hectic, rough divorce with my stepdad. So she barely has any time on her shoulders. So I'm doing her a favor, helping her out because...
I'm just asking what story you're telling me. That your mother gave you a $10,000 bag to sell on the internet for her.
Yes.
One of three that your welder ex-stepfather gave her from his earnings.
Sure.
That's the story that you're telling me.
Yes.
Great. And you put the bag on the internet, and right. she purchased it.
Yes, she did.
And she says it's a fake.
That's what she says. Okay.
Now, is that the bag that
yes,
you purchased? I'd like to see it, please. Okay. Is this your expert?
This is my expert, Miss Angie.
Okay. Houston. Would you stand up, please? Tell me your name.
My name is Angela Houston.
Miss Houston, tell me what your background is that you believe warrants my finding your testimony, expert testimony, in the field of authenticating bogus bags.
Okay. I did start as a collector about 25 years ago, designer handbags. All purchased originally from the stores, so they were authentic. And about 1999, I started working for myself as far as authenticating online. So I became the first online company to authenticate designer products. I would go to eBay, for example, and tell people that the bag they were purchasing was not authentic. And it is something that I have a passion for.
And you've been doing that since 1999?
Correct.
What's the name of your company?
My Poupette.
And it's online?
It is online.
You familiar with the Hermes bag?
Yes, I am.
Would you take a look at this one, please? And tell me what it is about this bag that suggests to you that it is not a legitimate Hermes bag.
There are three key features that I checked. I checked the entire bag, of course, but there are three features that I printed out photos for you to take a look at so that you can also compare. One of them is that the Kelly bag in particular, which this is, should have a matching lock that matches the leather of the bag. And on this lock, you'll be able to see yourself. The leather does not match, and I've printed a picture to show you how one should look. The other thing is that the studs on the strap should be hand-pounded. They should not look all uniform. These all look like they were just kind of put on by a machine, perhaps. And the logo itself is not deeply embossed. It looks like it's just sort of put on here. I'll give you a picture of that as well. Those are the key features that I wanted to point out to you.
I'd like to see.
Okay.
Thank you. While I'm looking at these, how much did you pay for this bag?
$2,900.
When you saw this ad, you agreed to meet him, is that right?
Yeah, I agreed to meet him at the Hermes store in Beverly Hills so that we could verify authenticity.
Well, it is clear that the lock on the bag is of a different leather
Correct.
Than the bag itself. That's clear. It's hard to get depth from the logo on it, but I see what you mean.
We do have an original Hermes bag here that maybe you can compare. It's not a Kelly bag, it's a Birkin bag, but you could probably compare the embossed logo with that one if
you'd like
to
see
it.
I would.
And, Your Honor, I would like to point out that on the Birkin bag, the lock does not necessarily match the leather.
Well, it's metal.
Correct. But there are some that do match.
Oh, it's actually pretty hard to tell.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Now I have all three bags.
Actually, two.
No, I'll have all three.
Oh, you have them.
Oh, okay.
I actually have this one here that I'm developing an attachment for.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Danielle Zilberg is accusing Kevin Celentano of selling her a fake Hermes handbag. Kevin is insisting the bag is real.
Okay. When the plaintiff contacted you and told you that she thought that the bag was a fake, tell me what happened.
She didn't actually contact me. She waited to set me up at the mall to let me know that it was a replica, supposedly.
Well, tell me about that, sir.
Okay, so I posted my ad on Craigslist.
I got that. She answered the ad. You negotiated a price.
Yes,
and you agreed to meet her at Hermes on Rodeo Drive
correct.
In Beverly Hills. She did, in fact, meet you there. She took the bag. What happened next?
Okay, Danielle and I walked out to the car. She said, okay, I'm going to give you the money. We exchanged, both walked away happy. Actually, before we walked away, she said, let me know if your mother has another handbag for sale. I said, yes, she does, but I'm not sure if she wants to sell it. I will let you know in a couple of days. And I told her, I said, yes, my mom is willing to sell it. And she said, okay, well, can you meet me at the Hermes store again? I said, honestly, I am staying at my girlfriend's house in La Crescenta, and that is on the opposite side of the valley to go to Beverly Hills. I don't have much time on my shoulders. I don't want to drive there again.
Why? You're not doing anything. You don't go to school. You don't write music. So why wouldn't you want to, for $3,000, which is a lot of money, drive
because
across town?
We had already went to the Hermes store. And I'm being honest.
You only went to the Hermes store with regard to one bag. I just want to know.
I just didn't feel like driving again
feel
all the
like
way to
it.
Beverly.
Okay, so you I didn't just, feel like it.
Well, that is one of the reasons, and it's really far. It's not convenient to go all the way to the Hermes store again. And she had sent me an address where she wanted me to meet her, and I checked it on my iPhone, and it was actually a dead end, like, I don't know, some dark alley or something, and I thought it was really shady. And I said, why don't we just meet at the mall where there's people in case anything happens, never know. And she kept on insisting, no, why don't you just come to this address? And I didn't want to because that's kind of shady. Who knows if they want to
jump? So why don't you just meet her at the Hermes store again?
It was just too far. Let's go to the Glendale Galleria, which was like, what, 3 miles away from her house? So she was willing to meet at the mall, finally. We met in front of Macy's. I approached her, gave her the blue bag.
You have that bag with you?
Yes.
So she checked it out, and behind the glass door, I saw two big guys approaching me. And she actually handed the bag to one of them, and I was like, okay. And she told me, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to give me the money back that you took from me. She's claiming that I stole her money.
Well, if you perpetrated a fraud on her, then you stole her $3,000. Aside from everything else, she has to go report you to the police, which I'm sure going to make her do.
Okay, what? I mean, we walked out the store. She willingly gave me the money in exchange for
the bag. Let me tell you something. If she is successful and I give her a judgment, I'm going to hold that judgment until she files a complaint with the police department against you. So she's on record, and you're on record, so that you can, as they say on television, tell it to the judge, only a criminal court judge, for fraud.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
I don't think that's fair.
Why? Do you think that I believe, based upon what you tell me, it's your story, that your mother was married to a man who's a welder. And as a welder, he was able to spend $30,000 just on pocketbooks.
Well, I don't
just
know.
Just on pocketbooks. So then what happened? Two guys came over and they took the blue bag. Now I have all three bags. And two bags.
Actually two.
No, I'll have all three.
Oh, you have them.
Oh.
Okay.
I actually have this one here that I'm developing an attachment for.
Okay, so she handed the blue bag to the other guy, and her dad found out it was her dad, came towards me aggressively, questioned me, who are you, where's your ID, what do you do, where do you live? And I just felt really intimidating because it was like I wasn't being ambushed by the mob or something. It was like in Goodfellas, like I didn't know what was going on.
Oh,
I was really
goodness.
Confused. Shh. Yeah, laugh on you. So I was really confused, and they kept on insisting for me to give them my ID, where my car was parked. So I finally said, okay, let's go walk to the car. I have nothing to hide. Once we got to it was actually her car. She was sitting in the passenger seat. Once we got to the car, her dad opened the door, took the keys out of the ignition, threatened not to give the keys back until I gave her money back for the white bag that she purchased from me. I said, I do not have the money. My mother's already used it on her lawyer fees.
That's not true, and he said. I'm sorry for
it. No, that is
no,
true.
No, no, no.
That is
what
true.
Did
that
he
is
say? True.
He said that my mom has the money. I'm going to try to call her. So he was calling his mom on his cell phone. Finally, he couldn't get a hold of her, and my dad said, okay, let me try calling her off my phone. So then when he dialed from his number, she picked up, and he said, I have your son here. He sold my daughter a fake bag, and she said, I'm not at home. I'm not going to come. She basically just avoided coming to the scene.
That is not true. She was in Valencia at the time, which is really far.
Oh, good. Okay. So now gets better. You're definitely going to the police.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
That, sir, is grand larceny, not little larceny, not petty larceny.
Okay, I understand that.
They're Hermes. That's grand larceny.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Danielle Zilberg is accusing Kevin Celentano of selling her a fake Hermes handbag.
Kevin is insisting the bag is real.
Knows that you are in a place with three strangers, her and two men, and that there is an issue with regard to the bag that she gave you to sell. And one of the men says, come down here and let's straighten this out.
Or we're going to call the police.
And your mother says, I'm all the way in Valencia and I'm not
coming. I mean, she wasn't really concerned because she knows these bags are not fake. She shouldn't have anything to worry about. She was in Valencia having dinner with her friend.
Somebody was kidnapping her son.
No one... Okay.
You just told me you were petrified. You felt threatened. You felt intimidated. They took the keys from your car. You couldn't leave. That's kidnapping.
And they said
just a second. That's kidnapping. And your mother was having dinner with a friend in Valencia. Is this what you're selling me?
Yes.
Listen, you owe her her money back. And I don't actually care where you get it from. But she's going to the police to report you and your mother. Because you just swore to me that you got these two bags from your mother.
Yes, I did.
Great. Well, then somebody's passing off fake stuff as real on the internet. And that, sir, is grand larceny. Yeah.
But where do you...
Grand, not little larceny, not petty larceny.
Okay, I understand that.
That's grand larceny. And that, even in the state of California, which has sometimes a little wackadoodle laws, that is a felony.
Your Honor,
okay, I understand that, but where do you guys have proof that these bags are fake?
That's going to be for the criminal trial. I have this expert. Do you have an expert? Let me tell you why I believe this expert. Because this foolish young lady over here, if she had to pay rent someplace, she wouldn't have $2,900 to spend on a pocketbook. Because I don't think she makes that kind of money. But because she gets to live rent-free at home, she gets to save all of her money and she can act foolishly and go spend $2,900 for a pocketbook. But she's allowed to do that because that's legitimate. If she wants to do that, she wanted that pocketbook. Now, it would be foolish for her to not keep that pocketbook when she's paid for it if it was real. Do you understand?
She kept the white bag.
Just a second.
Okay.
It would be foolish of her to make all this fuss, get in touch with this lady, who she, I'm sure, had to pay, because this lady does it as a business.
Okay, well, that's her.
Listen, I don't know whether your mother scammed you, whether you and your mother are in this operation together. I have no idea. That's up to the Valencia Police Department.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Are you the victim of a scam? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
You will give her back her $2,900. You are going to get back these two pocketbooks.
Your Honor, I'm sorry to interrupt, but he also has been attempting to sell the brown Kelly bag that would be his mom's third bag. And I have proof of that.
Oh, then maybe this is what we're going to do with the bags. This bag, I assume, is your bag.
Yes.
Okay. So would you return this bag to the plaintiff, please, Bird? And what I am going to do is, I am going to keep these two bags and turn them over to the Valencia Police Department as part of her complaint. Do you understand?
Okay.
Great. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $2,900. And when you can establish, sir, that these are legitimate pocketbooks, you'll get them back from the property clerk's office at the Valencia Police Department. Is that fair?
I guess so.
Great. Fabulous. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Please excuse me. Step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Well, there's quite a lot of damage here.
Did this driver play hide and seek?
What took you so long to sue him?
I filed a suit and they couldn't find him. He wasn't at the address that was on the police report.
Judge Judy.
I'm happy that we've just gotten this settled.
I am not doing a scam or whatever in this with my mother. I'm just simply helping her out because she's going through a rough divorce.
That there are no other people out there that can be scammed with the two fake bags, and potentially the third.
I'm being a kind son, helping out, but now I'm getting blamed for supposedly selling replica bags.
I just saw this obnoxious large man get into my car that I own.
My dad's 5'8", Kevin's like 6'2".
Take my car keys and threaten to not give me my car back.
It was very intimidating and they were threatening me. It was like an ambush.
It wasn't strong arm, no physical force.
I just think the whole situation is ridiculous.
I plan on just filing a claim. You know, I wish it didn't get to this point.
I'm worried because I haven't done anything wrong.
I don't want to put a 21-year-old kid in jeopardy of any sort of legal action. I would have just preferred to resolve it peacefully, but that didn't happen, unfortunately.
To make a lot of money.
You sublet your apartment to Mr. Lippman for how much rent?
$1,000.
A little dishonesty?
And you know that that's illegal to do
that.
Why did you do something that was illegal?
And evicting him didn't help.
You didn't go quietly, so she filed a restraining order against you.
Yes, Your Honor.
That was the only reason the police was called, because he became aggressive. I never called them before then.
What you told the police was a lie.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. This is Judge Judy. George Lippman is suing his former landlord, Terry Johnson, for the return of rent due to a fraudulent sublease, stolen property, and a fraudulent restraining order.
Order. All rise.
It's case number 394 on the calendar in the matter of Lippman versus Johnson.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Fires have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ladies, have a seat, please.
Ms. Johnson, where do you live in New York?
Brooklyn, New York.
You live in a rent-controlled apartment?
Correct.
How long have you lived there?
20 years, maybe.
And what's your rent?
The rent at that moment was $309. I haven't done my new lease.
Would you please tell me how much? Don't talk fast now because you want me to get over it. How much was your rent during the issue? $309. And you were going down to take care of your mother or some relative who needed your assistance last December, and you sublet your apartment to Mr. Lippman.
Yes, sir.
And you sublet your apartment to Mr. Lippman for how much rent?
$1,000.
And you know that that's illegal to do.
Correct.
That. So why did you do it?
My mom was...
No, well, why did you do
I did it because I needed help going to take care of my mom and someone staying in the apartment to keep up with the rent.
No, I'm asking you... Why did you do something that was illegal? It's illegal, and you know it's illegal to have a rent-controlled apartment and to sublet the rent-controlled apartment where you're paying $300 a month to somebody to pay $1,000 a month, and you knew it was illegal. So I'm asking you, why did you do something that was illegal?
I have no answer.
Answer.
I was just desperate.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
Now, then she came back, and she told you, I'm back. Goodbye. And you didn't go quietly. And so she filed a restraining order against you.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you're suing her for a whole bunch of things. So first of all, you were there for 10 months?
Yes, Your Honor.
And did you pay the $1,000 each of the 10 months that you were there?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so let's do 10 times, make my life easy, 700 equals $7,000. Now, do you have proof that you pay this money every
month? Yes,
Your Honor. Let me see it. What kind of work do you do, Mr. Lippman?
I work for, I have numerous jobs. I was working for the city at HRA. I was doing work for Human Resource Administration, a program called HEAP for light and gas for people that couldn't really pay it.
And how much were you making at that job?
$12.50 an hour.
What else did you do?
I also work construction as a helper, and I was making only $13 at the time.
Was anybody else living in the apartment with you?
Yes, ma'am.
How many people?
One.
Yeah.
Yes,
ma'am. That's your girlfriend?
No, not my girlfriend. That's my roommate. That's my friend.
And how much were you charging her for rent?
Well, I wasn't charging. Terry told me and Whitney at the moment when we first moved in that we had to pay $500 apiece for each room because she had a two-bedroom. So I was paying $500 and she was also paying $500. And we moved in at the same time together.
So you didn't pay $1,000 a month. You paid $500 a month.
Yeah, we had to pay together.
Are you suing her independently?
No, not at the moment, no.
So she paid her own rent of $500 a month.
Yes, ma'am.
You personally only overpaid by $200 a month.
Yes, ma'am.
You owe him $2,000 because you can't benefit from doing an illegal act.
Okay.
Did they take your apartment away from you?
No, I spoke to my management already. They did not.
That was really nice of them. Who would you get these receipts from?
Her sister, which lived in the next building from us.
I have a receipt here for $300.
Yes, ma'am. It was like numerous times, like say sometimes we couldn't all like pay it all at once. So whatever we had at the moment, we would give to her sister because Miss Terry was living in North Carolina at the time. And we was going through like a process of Western Union, her the money. And then we was telling her like, it's costing us too much to send you this amount of money and you're not deducting it out of the rent. So we started taking it up the block to her sister's house, straight cash, and she would write out a rent receipt.
When did she come back to town, sir?
August of 2017.
Did she give you notice that she was coming back to town?
Yes, ma'am.
How much notice?
One time.
Well, how much in advance?
Well, that was the same week that she came. It's like, I'm coming back, and when she came back, she was right at the door knocking.
Why didn't you give them more notice?
I did. I was back in June. I kept coming back and forth. We were arguing. It wasn't until September I got in. I had to keep staying at her house, my neighbor's house, so that I could wait for them to let me in my home. You know, I didn't have any way to get inside.
So then why didn't you move to evict them?
I did. I called.
No. Okay. You didn't move to evict them because they didn't have a lease. They were month-to-month tenant with you, even though it was illegal, because you couldn't move to evict them because they were there illegally. And the housing court wouldn't help you evict them if you had given them a proper 30-day notice. Did you ever send them a 30-day notice?
No.
You never sent them a 30-day notice. So now the only way that you can get them out, you finally went to the police and you filed a protective order against them. I want to see the allegations in the protective order. You don't do the right thing, it comes back to hurt you.
Can I?
Sure you can.
I didn't do this because to get them out. I offered him a place to stay. I said he could still stay until he found a place. He said okay, but he still locked me out. But then it became aggressive and he started bumping me and telling me where I can go and where I can't go in the apartment. So that was the only reason the police was called, because he became aggressive. I never called them before then.
How many days were you there before you called the police? How many days were you living in the apartment before you called? Just listen to me. How many days were you living in the apartment before you called the police?
Zero. I had no access.
Just a second. You said he was bumping you in the apartment.
When I would call, the cops would let me in for that moment.
For what?
Because I lived there.
No, you don't live there. Okay. You had sublet the apartment and were collecting rent all of that time. Where did he bump you?
When we were in the apartment, in my apartment.
With the police there?
No, the police left.
Well, then what were you doing in his apartment?
I had to get my personal papers.
You know, I'm not believing you. Where did you go, ultimately?
After we had to leave from the apartment, well, at that time, I didn't really have anywhere to go. I have a car, a vehicle, so I was in and out, you know, staying inside my car. And then when I got a chance to get in contact with my child's mother, she let me stay at her apartment.
What about her?
At the same time, she was going through something, so me being the friend that I am, I took her to her sister's house, and she's been staying there for the longest since we've been out.
Who blocked this out?
That came to me like that.
When were you at landlord and tenant court?
9/6.
What kind of action?
To get back in the apartment.
I'd like to see that act. Who filed it?
The police told me to go file in order to get back in and start the process of him leaving.
You know that when you lie and it becomes part of your fabric, sometimes the whole world gets blurred to you. This is what you swore to the police. You stated to the police that back in July, well, it wasn't in July, it was in December, she allowed the suspect to stay in her apartment since he was homeless and an acquaintance of the family. All of that is a lie. You sublet him your apartment, knowing it was illegal, for three times what you were paying in rent. And it wasn't that you let him stay there because he was homeless. He was your tenant. And then you accuse him of an illegal lockout.
I was under the impression he wasn't supposed to change the locks.
I don't care what your impression was. What you told the police was a lie.
Okay.
And then when you didn't get your way in housing court, because the judge was probably, or hopefully, not so sure, but hopefully, would ask you the same questions that I'm asking you. You went to the police and made this outrageous, full of lies statement.
I never said that he was not staying there. He was staying
there. At the time and pace of occurrence, you stated to the police that back in July, you allowed the suspect to stay in your apartment. It wasn't July, it was December.
No, he came in August.
He started renting your apartment and giving you $1,000 when? I have the receipts.
In August.
February 2017.
Those are his receipts that he had. Those are not all the receipts. He doesn't have August. He came in August.
Of what year?
August 2017.
16.
I mean, 16. Sorry.
So how long were you renting him the apartment? From August 2016 to September of 2017?
No, it was supposed to be in June. I was coming back. He knew I was coming back all the time.
So you collected rent from him for more than 10 months?
I didn't collect. Yeah, all right. Yes, I did.
No, no, no. The question is, did you collect rent from him for more than 10 months?
Yes, he gave my sister it, if that's what it is. Yes. But he didn't always pay.
I think you should sue her.
I am.
Just for the plaintiff in the amount of $3,000. Good
time. Parties are excused. You may step out.
How did I find out? It was because she had, like, notices on the door. Like, it was eviction notices stating that she owed X amount, you know, to pay, and which she wasn't paying. We was paying her the rent, and she wasn't paying the rent, obviously.
I have no comment.
That was a bunch of lies. That I attacked her, that I bumped her, I did anything to her. I never did no such thing. I would not harm a woman. I would not touch a woman. It's my landlord. All I wanted to do was just stay there, pay my rent, and go about my business.
I have no comment.
She was a con artist.
I have no comment.
At the end of the day, she was wrong.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Tan Domingo versus Rivera, step forward.
Liberty Tan and her cousin, Maria Domingo, are suing 22-year-old Daniel Rivera for unpaid car payments and late fees.
Did the two of you own this car together?
Yes, Your Honor. I'm the co-signer of the car.
So your name is on the title?
Yes.
And how are you related?
Cousins.
But she made the deal with him?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you have a seat?
Okay.
You got your cousin to co-sign a loan for a car for you. The car was a 2012 Ford Focus.
Yes.
And there were payments on the car. Then you bought another car. And you couldn't keep both cars because you couldn't afford both cars.
Correct.
So you advertised for somebody to take over your payments on the car.
Correct, Your Honor.
Did you find her on a Craigslist, on a Facebook? How did you find her?
We met when she gave me a ride because she worked for Uber.
Oh, okay. So you're an Uber driver?
Yes, ma'am.
And you worked for Uber and he was a client of yours?
Correct.
Did you drive him more than once?
Only one time, ma'am.
And then how did you contact him again when you wanted to sell him or you wanted him to take over the payments on this car?
We got into a conversation and we started being friends. We started talking and then about going out and stuff. So I had mentioned about a car that he was looking for a car.
When did you buy your new car? In what month?
In January.
Of this?
Of last year, ma'am.
And when did Mr. Rivera take over the payments on the old car?
March of 2017.
So a couple of months later.
Correct.
And you and Mr. Rivera went into the car dealership and signed the documentation for him to take over the payments?
Yes, correct, Your Honor.
But he didn't take over ownership of the car?
No, not yet, no. Until he was paid.
He did not take over the ownership of the car, and they did not relieve him or you and the co-signer of the debt on the car.
Yeah, correct.
They merely got a third person on the hook.
Correct.
And then, according to you, he paid for a while, but correct. Stopped paying.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
So the answer is you didn't make the July payment.
I did make the payment, but it wasn't the full payment.
What was the full payment?
$297.
And how much did you pay?
$90.
Oh, that's hardly the full payment.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Liberty Tan says Daniel Rivera owes for a car she was selling to him.
Now, he did not take over the ownership of the car, and they did not relieve him or you and the co-signer of the debt on the car.
Yeah, correct.
They merely got a third person on the hook.
Correct.
And then, according to you, he paid for a while, but correct. Stopped paying.
That's correct, Your Honor.
How long did you pay for the car, sir?
I paid for the car up until the tags are due in July.
Just give me the month.
July.
When was your last payment?
July.
You made the July payment?
That was, yeah.
Don't equivocate. You're going to have to show me. Did you make the July payment?
Yes, I did make the payment. It was not the full payment.
So the answer is you didn't make the July payment.
I did make the payment, but it wasn't the full payment.
What was the full payment?
$297.
And how much did you pay?
$90.
Oh, that's hardly the full payment. So you didn't make the July payment. When did you stop driving the car?
July.
When were the tags up?
July.
Is that why you stopped driving the car? Because the tags were up?
Yes.
Did you contact Miss Tan to tell her that she had to renew the tags?
Yes, I did.
When?
July.
Is that correct?
No, Your Honor.
When did he contact you that the tags were up?
He contacted me after, I believe it was like a couple of months after. June, July, about August of 2017.
Yes, he contacted you and said...
And he said that the tags are... He said the tags are due, and he wanted me to pay for the tags. And I said, well, it's your sole responsibility. That's why I'm giving the car to you. You're taking over the car because you're solely responsible for everything. I told him that.
Well, you told him that that's what you thought.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I'm not...
Yeah, correct. That's what he said.
Right. So then what happened with the car?
He still had the car.
How long did he keep the car?
Oh, gosh, until they repossessed it, the financial bank.
When?
It was October,
December.
I believe.
No.
Why didn't you take the car back?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
When he took over the car payments, were you current in your car payments? Be careful.
Yes.
When he took over the car payments, were you current in your payments or did you owe money for a month?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Liberty Tan says Daniel Riviera owes for a car she was selling to him.
So then what happened with the car?
He still had the car.
How long did he keep the car?
Oh, gosh, until they repossessed it, the financial bank.
When?
It was October,
December.
I believe.
Why didn't you take the car back?
Because I couldn't afford to pay for it, and I had an agreement with him that he would take over.
No, he didn't have an agreement with you. He had an agreement with the car company that he was just an extra added person to take over the payments.
But I have the agreement right here, Your Honor, that he signed for it, that he wanted to take over the car.
No, he wants to take over the payments.
Yes.
They don't care about the car. They wanted to take over the payments. He wanted you to pay to register it because the car was still in your name. That's what he wanted. Now, whether that's right or wrong.
Right.
But in March, April, May, and June, he paid for the car. Now, when he took over the car payments, were you current in your car payments? Be careful.
Yes.
When he took over the car payments, were you current in your payments or did you owe money for a month?
Just for a month, yes.
You owed money?
For 1 month.
That's fine. And who paid for that month?
I believe he did.
Right. And that was
$291.
Nice.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
That you should have paid, that he ended up paying. You should have paid that you didn't pay when you had the car.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had bought a new car, you couldn't afford both.
Correct.
So you stopped paying the finance company on the car where he took over the payments. And when he called you and said to you, you know, you're delinquent on your car payment, you said to him, you took it over, you pay for it. So he did. He paid for your month, right?
Yes, but he
just
agreed to it. He agreed to it, Your Honor.
He paid for your month.
Okay.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
How much would it have been to register the car?
To register it, I don't know yet. I didn't know. I don't know.
Would it have been less than $300 to register the car?
No, it was
$580.
Like $580 for me to register the car.
Okay. So all it would have cost you, since he paid $300, it would have cost you another couple of $100
right,
to register the car.
Right. But, Your Honor, I had told him that I had put the down payment. He didn't have to put anything down on the car. He just had to take over the car payments. That's all. He didn't put anything down.
He's lying because that day...
He's not giving you money.
I paid it.
He's not giving you any money.
On March 7th, I paid $180.
He's not giving you $5,000. It's not happening. Not happening. If he called you and said to you, I can't register the car, you have to register the car. You have the title. You have to register the car. And you said no, washing my hands of the car.
Her cousin said no.
What?
Her cousin said no. She didn't directly speak to me. Her cousin said, Daniel, that's your responsibility. You signed the paper. I have the paper. And why am I trying to pin that on Liberty? That is my responsibility.
Good. Goodbye, folks. We're done. Thank you.
Why is our excuse? You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Providing bail money came with a catch.
Mrs. Mullen said that it would be easier for me to pay her the bail back if I moved in with her.
Was it easier?
No.
Judge Judy.
Well, I think she was pretty fair, and she basically gave Liberty a dose of reality because you cannot be a nice person and have bad intentions.
I didn't think it was fair that she was just putting it all on me.
The car payment was backed up. She didn't tell me about it until after.
That he would take over everything. That's what we had on the green on the letter.
When I called the car company, they told me I couldn't do anything, that they needed me to talk to Liberty. So they had me running around.
No, he didn't pay off the loan. He was making payments.
Yeah, and she threatened me, left me several voicemails telling me, oh, I'm going to kick your butt. I'm going to whip you in the butt. That's what her cousin said.
No, not yet. I told him on the agreement that he will get the title when he's done paying off the payments.
Either when suddenly the dark comes to light eventually. So if you try to take advantage of somebody and you don't tell them something, they're going to find out later, like I did, and we're here now.
No. not being friendly with passengers anymore.